Welcome to Thanksgiving Eve service.
Yay.
Thank you all for coming. And wanted to start off this evening with just an opening prayer. So I'll invite you all to just close your eyes and go within. And let's just take a breath together. Center into this perfect moment. With every breath, we just become more present and aware of the eternal now. It is in this moment that I remember the truth of this life, that there is one life that is expressing as all of creation. This one life is a life of the divine, that universal being which is infinite in intelligence. It is the supreme love which is constantly giving, constantly creating, constantly supporting and guiding all of its creation. This one life, this divine life, lives in me. I am an emanation of this eternal love. And this is the truth for every person here in this circle. It is the truth for everyone here in this community. It is the truth for everyone that walks the face of this planet. We are one in this life. And so it is in this oneness that I speak the word of creation and know the truth. I know that this night flows in the power, in the presence of the one love, the one power, the one creator that is individualized in each of us. And so I simply know that this time together is joyful, it is thoughtful, it is loving, it is peaceful, and it is a time of opening to the all that is, to the all that we are. And so I just give thanks for this knowing. I give thanks for everyone that is here in this circle, and I allow it to unfold, and it's perfect. Amen. Oh, woman. So the current that's been moving since Sunday, I know for me and for many of us, has been this, it's about seeing, truly having spiritual sight. One of the beatitudes that has been a part of what's moving for us in the spiritual sense is the pure of heart, and what that means. And for me, as I was talking over on Sunday, part of that for me in the moments of my life is really coming to a place of deep gratitude. In whatever it is, for me, I shared the story of a person in my life where their presence in it changed the trajectory for me, and expressing that level of gratitude, allowing myself to experience the deep love and appreciation for life and the people that show up in it. So that was my way. You know, that was my way of opening a gateway to this purity of heart. So when for me, in my experience, when I'm in that place, there's no room for anything else. Anybody else have that experience? You know, when you're lit up with love, with gratitude for the preciousness of life, is there room for anything else in there? There's no fear. There's no doubt. There's no, none of that. And so why aren't we always there, right? What is it? What is it that keeps us from being in that state all the time, you know? And we don't have time to cover that all in an hour, but we all kind of know that we have belief systems and patterns that we've inherited in our life, and that awakening is really about letting those things go. The more we let those things go, the more the reality and the pureness and the love that is the truth of who we are shows up. So I'd like us just to take a moment, take a moment of silence, and I'd like everybody to think about a time when they were like really in that place of gratitude. If there's a person maybe in your life that showed up at just the right time, that you can allow yourself to go to that place. I thought it'd be kind of nice to get a couple of shares. People who might want to share a little bit of their heart about maybe someone or a circumstance in your life that really brings up this huge upswelling of gratitude.
So I was raised in a very, very strict Christian tradition. And there was a part of me, I guess I didn't realize it until I was older, but there was a part of me that had the sense, or knew, the knowing, that's not what God's like. You know, the judging God, all the other pieces, you know, of that tradition that didn't resonate for me. Then when I was 15, I met an Episcopalian priest, and I went to theology classes while, you know, other friends of mine were partying and everything. I would sit in these theology classes week after week with this Episcopalian priest and a couple of friends. And the deep gratitude that I feel for this amazing man had to do with his insistence on knowing the truth of God for himself and to teach from that place. He had a similar background as I did and was actually in seminary school when he left and ultimately became an Episcopalian priest. But it was a difference of night and day between a judging, critical, maybe you'll get to heaven someday if you don't screw up real badly, to a God of love and laughter and joy and fulfillment. I remember, I'll never forget something that he said to me almost 50 years ago. I am a little older than I think sometimes. He said, "Think about it. God created anteaters. Can you imagine? God has a sense of humor. There's no way God doesn't have a sense of humor. Someone who could create an anteater." It changed my life, and my relationship with God has been an exploration ever since in my own knowingness of the truth of God and not buying into anything that didn't feel true for me.
There's so many of them that I've been sitting here thinking which one, but I think the one is when I was a psychologist at UCLA, and we had luxurious offices underground. So I had gone down to Little Tokyo and gotten these beautiful Japanese calendars and then put the pictures up around my wall. And one day, one of my clients, she was a staff member, and she said, "Wow, you must really love Japan. How long did you live there?" And I said, "Well, I visited once, and I felt really at home." And so we were just chatting, and she said, "You know, my husband was a conscientious objector during Vietnam, and so we were sent to Japan to teach. And I still have a lot of connections there. What do you think about that?" And 3 months later, I was living in Japan. So that was one of my moments that was really heart-fulfilling in so many ways.
I've been thinking about this person actually a lot lately, so I'm glad to bring him into this space. Don Heath, Don the Plumber. I don't know if you remember him from Hawaii, but he's like a father figure to me. And I've been looking at my golf clubs, and I haven't used them all year this year. And he got me them. Early 2000 sometime. Maybe 2002 or 2003. And we were in Sam's Club. I used to work for him as a plumber apprentice. And it was a funny story. Just to start working for him was a crazy story. You know, I dated his nephew, a side job, and he was like, "Hey, you want to do some more work?" I'm like, "Yeah," you know. And so, but he saw something in me that I didn't. I had pretty much kind of given up at a point, and then he kind of too. He and his wife divorced, and then it was hard for him. She was really mean to him. She was abusive to him. And I saw it, too. So we helped each other out through a hard time. And golf was something I was picking up just to be out out of the do-do-do and be in my body in a new way, because golf is all about your body. I mean, you've really got to get into your body and calm your mind to be. It was meditative for me. And so it helped me a lot. He got me going to church and things. So let's see, I've known him since early 2000s. So yeah, so he helped me through a lot, the decision to leave Hawaii and let go of all my belongings. He's like, "Don't worry, you can get them again." You know, thankful for those relationships that hold you through something, but also give you a whole different perspective than what you're looking at, right? And it's kind of without judgment, just hold you through, show you a different perspective, and then hold you through your process. And that's what he was, that for me, in a very loving way.
Well, I got drafted and I was trained and I was on my way to a war, and I wanted to stop here just before I left for overseas. And so I think Dorian picked me up, and I met Diana, and I met Conrad O'Brien French, and Martin Exeter, and Lillian and Grace, and Roger DeWinton. And I spent time with all of them, but I spent particular time with Roger because I wanted to know about attunement. And this was the beginning of my attunement experience. And it carried me through the whole thing. And I would just remember, because of the big change going on in my life, that I didn't have anything that I could find. I couldn't find any comfort zones. And I just, it was like Roger was translucent when I met him. And he said he'd be with me in attunement and gave me some pointers on perception and attunement, and it was very useful to me through very challenging situations. And I started a man-to-man love affair in that way of the current of attunement, and it's still with me now.
Before I moved back to the ranch in 2007, after being away for 23 years, I had been living in an apartment in Loveland for 19 years, and in the apartment above mine, there was a Mexican family, and I developed a very special relationship with them, especially with their little daughter. Angelica was the mother, Gerardo the father, Gerardo Jr., their little boy, and this little girl was named Jazalyn. And she was 8 years old, and we developed the most special relationship. She would come down and see me quite often, and especially throwing the frisbee. We would do that hour after hour. She just loved to catch the frisbee and throw it back to me, and I loved to receive it and throw it back to her. And so it was a way of connecting in the most beautiful way. And this little girl was so remarkable. She picked up English, even though her parents didn't speak a word of English. She picked it up and was fluent in English at the age of 7, at least, and maybe even before that. And one day she whispered to me, "I think my parents are crazy." I thought it was so cute. But one time she came down and she was just discovering that she had a heart. And she let me touch her heart. She said, "Can you feel that beating? Isn't that amazing?" And it was such a privilege for me to touch her heart in that way. And just before I moved back to Sunrise, she gave me a little toy pig that I have now put on my bookcase here. And every night before I go to bed, I spend a few minutes blessing that pig, because to me it represents something of her. And I know she would be 19 years old now, but I feel just still that connection and a passion to share that flow of love with her before I retire every night. She's a very special little girl at the age of 19, Jazalyn.
Ooh, how heartwarming already. I'm offering gratitude for my godmother, Melody Bernstein. At the age of 7, she gave me divine light attunement for the first time in my life. And it really made a huge impact on me. And she's been there my whole life and opened lots of doors. And she's been in long-term care with several strokes and stuff for many years. And now she's kind of on hospice watch. So every time I speak to her, I just tell her, you know, thank you so much for opening so many doors for me. Thank you so much for always being there for me and always being an ear that I can talk to, you know, as a teenager going through my parents' divorce and going through various things. Like, just having somebody to talk to that was wise and would always kind of call me out on things and make me look at things in a different way. And every time I talk to her now, I just thank you. Thank you so much for everything that you've given to my life.
I remember when we moved here to Sunrise, I loved the night times, and I was just being an ordinary kid as far as I was concerned, not thinking about, I mean, at 13 and 14 and 15, you're not sort of thinking, at least I didn't think of my destiny and great things to do and blessing the world and all of the things we do today. I was just being myself, and I can remember going out on the county road over here, and in those days, of course, there were a lot less lights, both outside, you know, around Longmont and Boulder and Denver and Fort Collins and Loveland. Denver shone in the skies a bit, but you could see the stars, and that I began having this romantic feeling for the universe. And I, you know, that was so fascinating to me, and feeling like, yeah, that star out there that I see right now is looking down on me, and I'm looking back at it, and I'm connected to that star. I didn't think a lot about that, and now I take part two of the story. I was just going along being a kid, having my friends on Sunrise, going to school on the bus, and feeling a bit weird because we were from this commune west of Loveland, and you didn't talk too much about it because the teachers sort of razzed you a bit, and the kids did too. So we just, you know, were quiet. And I'd been taking piano both where I came from before we came to the ranch, and Nancy Rose Meeker and I were given piano lessons with a woman in town. And I began to be aware of feeling someone paying attention to me. And it wasn't, you know, it was just a loving, caring thing. And it started to increase more and more, as though now that I look back on it, the person was seeing there's potential here in this person as a young person. And so I began to see I had opportunity. The piano lessons were one thing, the singing in the sunrise choir, just any number of little things. And finally, you know, I mean, I recognized it was Lillian, and she was seeing that she wanted to give me an opportunity. I wasn't asking for it that I was aware of. I was just being a teenage kid, you know, just going along. Everything was basically pretty fine. I'm sure there were moments when had upsets. My dad and I once in a while didn't get along or something. But it was her interest in me, in guiding me through things. So I started asking questions that a young teenage girl would ask. I hadn't had a mother for a number of years because my mother passed away when I was 8 years old. So, and that was fine, by the way. I could tell you stories about that, but that's not what this is about. The thing was, this interest in another person, in drawing them out and letting them develop, say, in this case, from a teenager into a young woman who would see their destiny eventually. And I feel this is something that was bequeathed me, and I have a responsibility to find a way to say that to my friends in whatever way it is, naturally, but not imposing. The giving of a gift without imposition that fits. And I watched that in Lillian as she guided me through the various things in my life at the time.
Thank you, Diana. So we all have a story of how, I guess you could say, that God showed up in our lives as a person. And I know that there's times that I've been that person for others too. And I'm sure that each of us knows that we've been that for a friend in crisis, for a sibling, for a parent, an aging parent. We've been that gift, right? Each of us. And as a community, it's so amazing. This big snowstorm, I got to tell you, okay, I'm going to share a little bit of a story here because it was just such a warm feeling. You know, got up yesterday morning and there was all this snow. I opened the front door and there's like, yeah, it's up to there. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to go out back and I'm going to shovel a place so my dog can use the restroom. You know what I mean? Priorities, you know, I didn't need to get out the front door right away. But it was so amazing because later in the afternoon, I had some meetings I needed to get out to, and I went to open my door to shovel my way to the car, and there was already a path. Someone had came and shoveled a beautiful path out to the road. I'm like, wow, that's great. I don't have to do that. So I went back, did some more emails, came back outside and get ready to go to my meeting. And they had also unburied my car. So today I found out who that angel was, and it was the expression of gratitude for him. It was David Lynn that actually unburied my car. And we happened to be driving by him, and he was shoveling more snow for someone else. And I just wanted to pause and that eye contact and really y'all know what it feels like when there's this real heart opening, right? And to really express this level of gratitude to him eye to eye. So to know that he felt just how much I appreciated him. And that was such a gift. And it's such a gift to be in. That's part of what brought me to Sunrise Ranch, you know, to live in a community where there's people who are doing their work, you know, doing the best that they can to do their work, to live a spiritual life, to live with each other, and to live in this way, to do things for people, to be there in a dark moment. I can look around this room and I've had experiences with just about every one of you that are real, that are of a deep connection. I remember Rachel, the first time that she came to my door happened to be the day that my mother was dying. I opened the door. She's like, "Hey," and I'm like, "Dude, my mom's dying right now." And all we did was embrace. We just embraced. We just held each other in that moment. That's all that needed to happen, right? It's just that, just to be. And more than anything, over the course of the last few months, you know, we've been through a lot as a community, right? But there's this shift that's happening, and there is more and more of what really wants to come through that's coming through now, but there's more yet to come. And I think that this is a piece of it, right? Is really to start to see God in each other and to be God for another in a moment. And you know when it is, right? We all know when it is because we hear, we feel the tug. We know why we're lingering back to have a conversation. We're called, right? We get those little moments of intuition. It's like, I'm supposed to have a conversation with this person. Why am I drawn to this person all of a sudden? There's a reason, right? Because that is to see, when we say the pure in heart will see God. Well, that means that we've cleared out all the BS out of our mind and our heart to where we can see clearly, right? And so part of what I wanted to experience with everybody tonight is really just to number one, express some gratitude and really feel into how beautiful and sacred and special this constellation of people are. And maybe to identify some of the things that are getting in the way right now and do a little something to bring some spiritual medicine to it. And then at the end, we're going to celebrate. We're going to celebrate by singing and making some rhythm and beats together and celebrating out and going into our Thanksgiving weekend together in a high place, you know, in a place of gratitude and love, 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 love. So for the next, kind of going into the next part of this, I'd like to take a moment. Let's pause and take a moment. We all kind of know what this place of gratitude feels like when we're really open, when we're really seeing someone, when we're really seeing the gift that they are to our life. I'll invite you now to bring into your awareness maybe something current that might be moving for you in a relationship, someone here, someone in your family, where it's not going so good. And just ask yourself the question, what would I need to let go of to see clearly, to see them as the divine? What do I need to let go of? And so what I thought we could do is just each of us name what it is that is ours to release, to let go of, so that we might see more clearly. And then after we name it, we can do an energy circle and bring spiritual medicine to that, put all that wants to be released into the center of it, and let it be carried off and transformed. So I'll start with what it is that I know for myself in my current situation what needs to be released for me is really two things, judgment and impatience.
I need to release a bad habit of playing small.
I have the wonderful opportunity to release any form of wanting.
Too many routines.
Arrogance.
Shame.
Well, I guess for me it's letting go of holding on to my daughter's lack of self-love of herself that she's projecting on me.
At this point in time, as a mother who loved my mothering, and it's a thankless task sometimes. So just to let go of that seems like a thankless task in the process.
All I get is that I release the need to release anything.
I release any mistrust that I have.
I'm working to release self-doubt and self-criticism.
Releasing a sense of being hurt.
I'm willing to release my joy, to be in service.
Blame and dependence.
Not good enough.
Expectations of myself and others.
Self-judgment.
Fear of being hurt.
Impatience and expectation.
Worthiness and guilt.
Shame and guilt.
Feeling like everybody's out to get me.
Anger.
Judgment and expectation.
So before we, I'd like to everybody just to partner up, maybe with the person next to you. Do we have enough people for everybody to have a partner? Let's see if we can. Everybody got a partner up? Looks like it. So what I'd like to do is have everybody think. Figure out who's partner one and partner two. Let's do that first. Partner one and two. Okay, so partner one is going to go first. And what we're going to do is we're going to imagine someone, it can be that same person that you thought of earlier, someone that maybe really saved your life or was there at a really, really important time, or maybe somebody that you never really got to express how much they touched your life, how much they blessed you, and what you would say to them. Doesn't need to be this long, but, you know, something like, thank you. You blessed me at a time in my life that I really needed it. Thank you. You know, whatever. But to get centered in what it is you want to say. And then for the partner too, is just to open yourself and receive it as if it's your very own blessing, to allow that those words and the vibration that the person is tapping into as they're thinking of this person that they love, as they're thinking of this person that they're expressing their gratitude for, and just receive that blessing, receive that vibration and let it be yours. And then we'll switch off. Okay. So whenever you're ready, just get centered in that vibration. Imagine, take a moment to get centered and then express that blessing and that thanksgiving to your partner. We'll just take about a minute each. I think that's sufficient. When you guys are wrapped up, you can go ahead and switch partners now. Okay, we'll just wrap it up here. When you are complete, you can just come back to your spot. Is anybody, we have time for maybe one share, anybody who has a burning share of what that maybe felt like to either express or receive that blessing. I know for me, sometimes it's about saying it. You know, if you've never said it before, it's like, whoa. Anybody want to share? Yeah.
Sometimes there's that synchronicity. We both were 24. And I never thanked that man who saw in me the biology teacher, and I've been a teacher the rest of my life, even as a rock climbing instructor. That's my thing. And thanking him through Jewel was because I never could thank him. He died just before I could do it and thought I have to do it. And I'm sure through Jewel he did hear us.
It was just so beautiful. Chris and I both had people in our lives who were just absolutely life-changing. What a gift that is. Mine was a girl named Cece. She was a drummer in the band I was in when I was in my, like I was 32-ish, you know, something like that. And she was like 26-ish. And those were just some of the worst years of my life at home, you know, in an abusive marriage and so much stress and anxiety and pain. And all of it was hidden. She had no idea. If she did, she would have killed him, literally. So I could never tell her. But she was absolutely a lifesaver, reminding me who I am, a person with worth and someone who's fun to be with. And so we were best friends for 3 years. And I have no way, I couldn't have gotten through those years without her. No way.
Wow. I can feel the love in this room, the appreciation, the stories. I didn't hear all the stories, but I can feel it, right? So to close off this evening, the band, we've been working on stuff, right? So we started working on this chant. We just started working on it, but I think it's ready to go. So some of you picked up instruments as you walked in, and so feel free to take part in it. Roshana is going to be laying down the heartbeat here. So I encourage you to tune in with the heart. And how we're going to do this, I'm going to be doing, it's a call and response. And it's very, very easy and simple. So Karen's going to be doing the response part. And it's just easy. You guys are going to have a blast with this. So we're ready. You ready? Ready. You wanna say thank you, thank you, oh thank you, 'cause I'm so grateful, so grateful, grateful, so grateful. Thank you for this day, Spirit, thank you for this day.
Thank you for this day, Spirit, thank you for this day.
Thank you for this day, Spirit, thank you for this day.
Thank you for this day, Spirit, thank you for this day.
This healing, this healing, this healing day.
This healing, this healing, this healing day.
Thank you for this day, Spirit. Thank you for this day.
Thank you for this day, Spirit. Thank you for this day.
This beautiful, this beautiful, this beautiful day.
This beautiful, this beautiful, this beautiful day.
Thank you for my friends, Spirit. Thank you for my friends.
Thank you for my friends, Spirit. Thank you for my friends.
Thank you for my friends, Spirit. Thank you for my friends.
Thank you for my friends, Spirit. Thank you for my friends.
My wonderful, my wonderful, my wonderful friends.
My wonderful, my wonderful, my wonderful friends.
Thank you for my friends, Spirit. Thank you for my friends.
Thank you for my friends, Spirit. Thank you for my friends.
My wonderful, my wonderful, my wonderful friends.
My wonderful, my wonderful, my wonderful friends.
Thank you for this day, Spirit. Thank you for this day.
Thank you for this day, Spirit. Thank you for this day.
This healing, this healing, this healing day. Thank you for this day, Spirit. Thank you for this day.
Thank you for this day, Spirit. Thank you for this day.
This beautiful, this beautiful, this beautiful day.
This beautiful, this beautiful, this beautiful day.
Oh, thank you.
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 I'm so grateful.
So grateful.
So grateful.
So grateful.
So grateful.
So grateful.
I'm so grateful.
So grateful.
So thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
I'm grateful.
So grateful.
I'm grateful.
So grateful.
I'm grateful.
I'm grateful.
So grateful.
So grateful.
Thank you now.
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 Thank you now. Woo! Happy Thanksgiving, everybody! Thank you for playing! All right, so ending off on uplifting note this evening, and I just want to express my gratitude for all of you for the ways that you show up in my life and in the lives of each other. And I'm looking forward to tomorrow, and just bless you all and thank you again.